I'm thankful for everyone that's here. On behalf of Fairview Memorial Missionary Baptist Church, I want to join Brother Spicer in saying that we're thankful to have our visitors here tonight. And I want to ask an interest in your prayers. Before I begin my reading, I want to say once again how much I am enjoying working with Brother Spicer. I have just really enjoyed his preaching, and it's been a great blessing to me, and I'm thankful that he's been willing to follow the Lord and preach the things that God has placed upon his heart, and I know that the Lord has been helping him greatly, and I'm thankful for that. I have some scripture that I would like to share with you from the 8th chapter of the Gospel according to Luke. And I want to again begin reading with verse 41. If you have your Bibles and would like to read with me in the scripture reading, please turn to Luke chapter 8. I want to begin with verse 41. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. For he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude thronged thee and pressed thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" And Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me." And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." And I want to stop my reading there with verse 48. I have a title tonight that I'd like to use for the message, and that being, "Somebody Touched Me." This past Sunday morning, in our Sunday school class, in the Bible class, as Brother Dallas Wheat was teaching the class, he said something that just really has been with me the last couple of days here. He said that all too often, and I may not quote him word for word, but I'll get the point across. He said, all too often, when we have important decisions that are facing us, that we don't take them before God like we should. He said, when we have these things that are important, that are facing us, these important decisions, we need to consult God in it. And to that I say amen. If you are trying to decide whether to wear your black shoes or brown shoes to church, just pick one and go with it. But there are things that are very important. There are decisions that we make in life that are very important, things that will greatly affect our life. Oftentimes things that will affect our walk with the Lord. And we do need to be very cautious and very careful. And we need to include God in those things, and we need to seek God's counsel and God's guidance in those things. And far too often, even God's own people are too hasty and too prone to make decisions without consulting God at all. And I believe that perhaps all of us, maybe at one time or another, we have seen that happen in somebody's life, and those things will lead us away from the Lord and from what God's will is for us in this life. And just as we oftentimes, as God's children, are guilty of that, I'm afraid that those who are lost oftentimes try to find salvation without really including God in it. And that's what I would like to talk about this evening. My heart has been heavy today. I've thought about this most all day. And Brother Spicer has already made mention of this, that we have those here this evening that have been on the mourner's bench, and they have come and they have spent a good deal of time on the mourner's bench just to get up and leave, still not satisfied in a Savior's love, not saved. And that's a great burden to me, and it ought to be a great burden to all of us. And if you're lost, that ought to be a tremendous burden to you. If you're seeking that way and you're not finding God, that ought to be a tremendous burden and a great weight upon your soul. And I thought today about how that the Lord might possibly use me to try to be a help in some way. And of course, I realize that, you know, when we think about that, the only thing that we can do is to try to follow the Lord in what He would have us to say, what He would have us to do, because God is the one that has the answers. And so I pray tonight that everything that's said and everything that's done in this service will be under the direction of the Lord and not something that we just choose to do or just choose to say. I want to reaffirm some things before you tonight, before I go any further. And that is that for all of you that are here tonight that have not been saved, I want you to know that you're not being saved and still being lost is not God's fault. God has done everything. I believe that's been already well established in this revival effort thus far. God has done everything that is necessary for you to be saved, and He extends the invitation to all the ends of the earth to look unto Him and be saved. And so God is willing and ready to save everybody. Everybody that will believe, God is willing and ready to save. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29, you can find there that the Bible teaches us that if you will seek the Lord with all of your heart and with all of your soul, you will find Him. That's not hard to understand, and that's a great promise from the Lord. If you will seek Him, in that way, you will find the Lord. Jesus made a great promise to the seeker. He said, "Knock, and it shall be open unto you. Seek, and you shall find." And so I want you to know that and reaffirm before you tonight that you absolutely can be saved. Now, I want to talk for just a moment about what we have read here in this 8th chapter of the Gospel of Luke about this woman with the issue of blood. And there are a few things that I want you to notice in this. There are a few points that I would like to make about this. One is that this woman had tried to find help for her condition many other times in other places. In this account, according to Luke, it tells us that she had spent all her living upon physicians, a plurality of physicians that she had seen. In the 5th chapter of the Gospel of Mark, when Mark recorded this account, he said that she had suffered many things of many physicians. And so I want you to remember that point, if you would, that this woman had tried many times in vain to be healed of the issue of blood. There was something else that she did. She came there behind the Lord and reached out and touched the border of his garment. I want you to keep in mind that she reached out and touched the Lord. And if you can imagine the scene here, if you could get a picture in your mind of the setting here, Jesus was in a crowd of people. There were people that were all around him, and they were bumping into him, and they were touching him. But in the midst of all this confusion and this the people thronging him, when this woman reached out and touched the border of his garment, Jesus asked the question, "Who hath touched me?" And his disciples, and I think that we could all understand their confusion. If we were up here in perhaps in the altar area and there were more people than what we could really fit up here, and we were just bumping into everybody and elbowing everybody, and one of us looked at the other one and said, "Well, who touched me?" I think we could say, "Well, how could I know?" I think we could see the confusion that the disciples had there. They said, "Lord, you know, the multitudes here are thronging you, and you want to know who it is that touched you?" And Jesus told them, he said, somebody has touched me. You see, the Lord knew that somebody had touched him in a very special way. They had not just touched his flesh. They had not just bumped into him or elbowed him or touched him in that way. Jesus knew that somebody had touched the very heart of the Lord. And he said that somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue or miraculous power is gone out from me. Now, oftentimes in our testimonies, those of us who are saved, in our testimonies, we relate how that the Lord has touched us, how that he has touched our lives, how that he touched our hearts when he saved us. There have been hymns, and many of them today are treasured hymns among us. There have been hymns that have been written about how that we have been touched by the hand of the Lord. He touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, what joy has filled my soul. And we sing, you know, many songs about the Lord touching us. But in this account here that we have read, not only did someone, this woman reach out and, or not only did Jesus rather reach out and touch this woman, but she touched him. And we may not think about that real often because, you know, we don't know what's oftentimes, or think about perhaps, what's going on the other side, what's happening there on the throne when we are saved. But just as sure, if you have been saved, just as sure as that very hour that the Lord touched you, you touched him before he touched you. And if you're going to feel that touch of the Master's hand, if you're going to experience the Lord touching your heart and saving your soul, I promise you that it's not going to happen until you touch the Lord. And you're going to have to touch him the same way that this woman did, because I believe there's another reason why that Jesus asked the question, somebody touched me. Or why he asked the question rather, who touched me? Because he knew that somebody had touched him. And I believe that another reason that he knew that is because this woman had touched him by faith. And listen, Hebrews 11 and 6 tells us that without faith, it is impossible to please the Lord. Until you reach out and touch him by faith, you will not be saved. Because the Bible says that it is with the heart that man believeth unto righteousness. Your heart has got to reach out by faith and touch the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you may say, well, Pastor, he's not here anymore. He's not walking on the earth like he was then. When this woman reached out and touched the border of his garment, he's not physically here anymore. Listen, that doesn't matter at all. The Bible teaches me in the Hebrew letter that he is a great high priest, and that he can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. And Jesus is now sitting at the right hand of God, and he's making intercession for us. And lost friend, listen, tonight I promise you that you can still touch the Lord. He can be touched by the feeling of our infirmities. He knows what you're going through. He knows what we're all facing. And what you have before you tonight is not just a decision that you need to make, but I want to tell you something, that seeking after God with all of your heart and being saved by his grace is the most important thing that you're ever going to do in this world. Sometimes I'm afraid that even the people of God, we let that slip away from us when we are dealing in our everyday life with people that are lost. Let me tell you something, nothing is as important as people being saved. There are some important decisions in life. There are some that you're going to have. There are things that no doubt are going to face you in your lifetime. There are decisions, as I said, that can be made. You may make the wrong decision about something, and you may plunge yourself into financial ruin. You may make the wrong decision about something, and you may cause your marriage to fail. You may bring a lot of different types of heartaches upon yourself if you make the wrong decision about something. But as important as those things are, they are all going to pass away here in just a little while. But you that are lost have eternal matters to settle. Because you see, we're all an eternal bound people. If we allow him, if you allow him, the devil will try everything he can to get you to forget about that. Try to make you think that, life is just grand and you're just going to be here forever. But I want you to know something. You're not going to be here forever. In fact, none of us are going to be here very long. And you have just a very small window of opportunity to make things right with God and to be saved. And none of us know how long that's going to be. There might very well be some of us here today that might be living our last few hours upon the earth even. It may be you. It may be me. That's something that we just don't have knowledge of. I want to ask you something. Because I have a great burden and a great desire to try to help you if I can. And I want to ask you the question, and I want to ask you to really ponder this in your heart and in your mind. Who or what are you seeking? Because remember, the Bible said, if you seek the Lord, if you seek Him with all of your heart, and with all of your soul, you will find him. But I believe this, just as this woman had been to many physicians and had not been made better, I believe that a person could make many trips to a mourner's bench without really coming to the Lord. I want you to notice something in this. And I don't know how many testimonies that I have heard in my life. I'm sure that many of you here tonight can relate to the same thing. I couldn't even count the testimonies that I've heard in my life when people would tell about being saved, where they would say, I just went time after time after time after time to the altar, to the mourner's bench, and then suddenly one day or one evening or what have you, or it may have been, you may have been kneeling by your bed in the evenings, night after night after night, wherever that was taking place, I have heard so many testimonies of people saying, I had just went and went and went and went, and then suddenly there was this one time that I went and I got saved. Well, I'll tell you what I believe happened. I think the same thing happened in every one of those cases. I think those people made many trips someplace, and then they made one trip to the Lord. I believe that's what happened every time. If you look at what happened with this woman here, she had many times she had gone to these physicians and she had not been healed, she had not been delivered from the issue of blood, but one time she reached out by faith and touched the Lord Jesus Christ and trusted him, and she was healed and made whole because she had faith in the Lord. Listen, if you come to the Lord one time, truly trusting Him with all of your heart. You know, we say that you can only be saved once, and that's very true. You can only be saved one time. And you can only make one trip to the Lord where you are truly trusting Him with all of your heart, because He will not turn you away if you do that and tell you to come back at another time. Whatever it is that you have been trying, you've got to know this, that if you are ever going to be saved, the only thing that you can seek is the Lord God. He is the only one that you can seek after. He is the only one that you can rely upon if you are ever going to experience His grace. And I said that because I want to talk about that too this evening. If you've been in a Missionary Baptist church very much, in one of our churches, you've heard the word experience, no doubt, a lot of times. And I want to get to that here in a moment. But lost friend, you cannot rely upon this church if you're seeking to be saved. You can't rely upon this church. You cannot reach out to anybody. You cannot reach out and touch anybody or anything other than the Lord and be saved. You can't do it. I'm sure that you have heard, and that's why I asked the question, and I really want you to consider that. Who is it that you're seeking, or what is it that you're seeking? Because no doubt many times when you have been in a service and you have heard people testify, or perhaps you have heard the preacher preaching about this, because I do believe that true salvation is the experimental knowledge of God. And I believe that everybody that has been truly saved has had a spiritual experience with the Lord. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "You must be born again. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit." You can't be saved by a fleshly experience. When you are saved, you have a spiritual experience with the Lord. If you've not had it, you've not been saved. But I believe it's important that you understand something about that. And that is that experience is something that we get. It's something that we have. It's something that God gives to us when we are saved. And I'll get back to that here in just a moment, Lord willing. I've heard it said that sometimes that things may be said when Christian people testify, things may be said that might confuse somebody. Well, I don't know about all that, but let me say this. I believe that it's important for us to tell what God did for us just the way it happened. I think we ought to express it just the way that it happened. I mean, if there was something that happened that we know that perhaps wasn't from the Lord or from the Holy Spirit, then we certainly don't need to tell that. But I want you to look for an example. I want you to look at the experience that the Apostle Paul had there on the road there. He didn't have any problem when he shared his experience telling about hearing a voice and seeing a great light. He told it just the way it happened. David, in the 116th Psalm, he laid out his experience just the way that God had given it to him. The sorrows of death can pass me. The pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. I had a sister one time in one of the churches in Indianapolis. She told me that David's testimony there, because I, you know, for me, I can relate to that so much, what David was saying there. And I never had a doubt in the world about this sister being saved, but she said, that's not the scripture. That's not the experience in the Bible. That reminded her of her salvation. You see, we all have different kinds of experiences. Some may experience a very powerful, strong type of conversion. Some may experience a much more still and peaceful. I mean, we've heard those testimonies. But I want you to know something tonight. If you're lost, don't seek an experience. Don't be seeking an experience. Seek God. Seek the Lord. And when you find Him, God will give you your own experience. But don't get confused and think that what you need to do is seek some kind of experience. What you need to do is you need to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you need to seek after Him with all of your heart. You stand guilty before God and before Him and no one else. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, and he said that godly sorrow worketh repentance unto salvation. And it certainly does. You need to understand tonight that you have not offended me. You have not offended this church. You have not offended your parents by your sins. But your sins have wounded the heart of a holy, loving, righteous God. And until you sorrow in your heart that you have offended God, and you look to Him and to nobody else with all of your heart, until you do that, you shall remain lost and in your sin. Every one of us here tonight that have had that spiritual experience, we have had that because we went seeking the Lord. Brother Spicer, in his message last night, he quoted the scripture from the Proverbs, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." You may have in your own mind, you may have, as many others have, and it's always been a hindrance. I mean, listen to the testimonies. Every time that you hear somebody talking about it, it was always a hindrance to them. You may have preconceived ideas and notions in your mind about what's going to happen when you get saved. Let me tell you something, friends. You don't know what's going to happen when you get saved. That's just something that you've got to experience. I can't even fully, you know, those of us that have been saved, we can't fully explain to you what it was like. I know that it was good, and I know that I've still got it today, but there's just something there that just can't be fully explained. You're just not going to know it until you experience it. Don't come seeking an experience where you will jump up and shout, or where you will jump up and run around the building, or any kind of preconceived notion that you have, because friends, listen, I promise you that'll be a hindrance to you. If that's what you're seeking after, that'll be a hindrance to you. You need to come and lay it all on the altar before the Lord Jesus Christ and trust nothing and nobody but Him. That's it. That's it. That's the only way that anybody ever gets saved. This man that I spoke about earlier, the Apostle Paul, or Saul of Tarsus at the time, he for a long time, he trusted his religion. He trusted his religious beliefs to justify him before the Lord. And he was very zealous in his beliefs. He said he was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. Paul was very devout in his religion, and he trusted in that. But on that road that day, when the Lord convicted him of his sin, he realized that that wasn't going to get him there. And I'm telling you, friends, it's not anything that you can do. It's not any good deed that you can do. It's certainly not any religious belief. The only thing that will ever save you is coming to the Lord Jesus and pouring your heart out to Him and trusting Him to save you. As I said, I want to help you if I can. And I'm going to try to help you by telling you this. If you never do that, you're going to lose your soul. And it won't make any difference. It won't make any difference how many times you walked up and knelt at a mourner's bench. It won't matter. It won't matter how many times you knelt on your knees beside your bed. It won't matter. None of it will matter if you fail to trust the Lord Jesus, Him and Him alone, to save your unworthy soul. You will die lost and in your sins, and hell will be your eternity. That's it. You've got to touch the Lord Jesus with faith of your whole heart. And when you do, by His help, when you do, the Bible, the Word of God, the Scriptures,